Everyone, welcome back into Whisper in the Wings from Stage Whisper. We are so excited to welcome back our guest once again, the playwright and director Lenny Schwartz. He's joining us today to talk about his new work being presented by Daydream Theater and Rise called The Motion Picture Camera of Louis Le Prince. It's happening April 11th through the 20th at Beacon Charter High School for the Arts in Woonsocket, Rhode Island. And you can get your tickets and more information by visiting ristage.org. We love having this guest on our show. He always brings us something new, something exciting, and this show is nothing less than that. So let us welcome on our guest, Lenny. Welcome to Whisper in the Wings from Stage Whisper.
It's wonderful to be back. I'm so happy. Thank you for having me as always. I'm so excited to talk about this. My cup is running over because I'm so excited.
I'm so excited to have you back here. And I'm so excited about the show. We were just talking that when I got your email and you left that little like brief description, I was like, yes. Yes, and then, so why don't we start by having you tell us a little bit about what The Motion Picture Camera of Louis Le Prince is about.
So we talked before, and you said one something that I really loved, and you said about true crime. I love true crime. You know, I really do, and I really think that I love John Logan's play Never the Sinner. I don't know if you've seen that. It's unbelievable. Or if you've read it, John Logan is amazing. But I enjoy true crime too. And I haven't done too well. I've done like, you know, comic book, you know, stories about what happened in the industries and things like that. But this actually involves like actually a mystery that it's almost like a Dennis Lehane story, you know, like almost like Mystic River or Gone Baby Gone in a certain way, or the Zodiac movie. I tell everybody, you know, it's basically about a gentleman who, you know, he had an idea for the motion picture camera. And he invented it. Like he invented Louis Le Prince is actually considered the father of cinematography. But he actually, if you go online, you can actually see his first movies that predate anything. And to me, that was always, it was a mystery that kind of swam around in my head for about 25 years. I thought about writing this play back when I was 18 years old, actually. And now I'm 19, obviously. So I'm kidding. So I just love the story and the mystery behind it. It's basically about a guy who invented the first motion picture camera, and he invented it, and he shot his first films on October 10th of 1888. These films survived. Two of them do survive. You can see them online on YouTube. And then he spent time trying to find ways to develop it. He actually made a projector, to screen him on. He had his ideas for like telling stories with the projector. He did all these things. And then in September of 1890, he goes to visit his brother. He boards a train and he never gets off the train. And nobody knows what happened to him after this. He just disappeared like that. So there are all these theories surrounding this, what happened to Louis Le Prince, that he got dumped in the river. And he got mugged when he came off the train. Edison killed him, which is a big theory. His brother had something to do with it, that he had a gay lover or something. He had all these theories surrounding it, but nobody could actually find concrete proof about what happened. And this play explores that. It raises those questions. It raises those mysteries. It talks about what he did. It shows you mentioned the motion picture camera. But even beyond that, it's about other things too. It's about the beginnings of the motion picture industry, the bloodshed that happened between it, the almost mob mentality behind it all. You know, we watch movies daily. I like to tell people, like people ask me, who's this play for? It's for everybody. It's for us right now talking on the Zoom. This Zoom wouldn't exist without Louis Le Prince's work. It just wouldn't, you know? It's amazing to think about that. You know, his work would not, he would not exist. His stuff would not exist without, this stuff would not, your TikTok videos would not exist. Your, you know, shooting a movie on a movie camera, shooting your cat, you know, eating out of his bowl in the morning, that would not exist without Louis Le Prince. And so I was very interested in exploring that and figuring out how do we get from there to here and what those things were in between, basically. So
that is fascinating. That's wonderful. So you mentioned that you had the idea for the show all the way back when you were 18, just a year ago.
That's a year ago.
what inspired you to write?
So here's what's it. So I was a film major in college, and I had a wonderful teacher, Catherine Kalanick, who said, I hadn't even written a play at this point. Like, I was just writing my first play. And she had said, I'll never forget this. She said, okay, I haven't even directed a play at this point. I remember that. This was back, this is literally my second semester of college. And she said, she talked about Louis the Prince. She said, this would make a great screenplay and a great play or a great story for somebody to tell. And nobody has told it. And there was a book out, but nobody's told it in a dramatic fashion. And to me, that's very sad. You can write a book, you can do a documentary, but what do people listen to? They listen to plays. What do they watch? They watch movies. They watch plays. That's how they learn their information. You can watch a news item about it, but I also feel, you know, or a documentary, but to get into that headspace of who Louis the Prince was and what that time period was like, that's something that only a play or a screenplay could do. So I really wanted to write that. I think I was focused on other things, and I didn't feel I had the abilities to pull that off at that point. And I didn't have the abilities to pull it off. I mean, some people when they're 18 could probably write that or write something, you know, as deep as something like that. I had to work towards that my entire life to get to that point to be able to write this. And I'm very happy I did, because there are techniques that are in the show that I couldn't do back when I was 18, because I just didn't know how, or I haven't practiced them, or I haven't directed any shows yet. So now when I actually said, oh, I'm going to sit down and write this, I knew which ways to go with things. So it was a very enjoyable writing process, but it was also very, to me, it was also getting it just right so I can direct the story in the right way.
That's fantastic.
I'm excited.
So, diving in a little bit more about, you know, the process of the show and whatnot, what has it been like developing this piece?
So developing it was, I mean, like I said, a lot of it was just marinating on it. Like when I'm ready to write something, I just write it. I get into it. I write. I go into it. I do the research. I find those research moments. I find those, you know, I read everything I can possibly find about it. And I'm like, well, what's the story here? And I always look at like, that's really the first part. So probably all told in writing it, you could say it took about 30 years. But I mean, there was times I'm like, I would love to write that. If I ever do that play, I'd do this. So I knew those things coming in. Like, I'm like, okay, I would write it down and make a note. And I'm like, you know, this will be for this. But the actual writing process, probably about 2 years. I mean, honestly, I've had plays I've written for 12 years I couldn't get right, and then I finally did. Or I've written for 7 years. Or some plays I've written for 30 days and they're done. You know, it's never a set moment. But there's always something that makes me think, okay, well, you know, but when I'm actually getting down to the research, I was like, how fast could I? It was funny because I actually wrote three plays concurrently, and this being one of them. And I think all three of them are probably the best works I've done. But this was probably back in, I think the real last draft of this came in October of 2023. I just finished up the last show I was directing. I'm like, well, I wonder if I can really pull this together. I know I have to for the spring show, but what will it be? And a lot of it was just throwing out materials that I had, things that were unnecessary, just chunks, just tossing, and then just putting them together and saying, like, this is what it looks like. And knowing and trusting those moments that when you're writing that worked. I always like to say, if you're writing that last draft, you should write that last draft pretty quickly so you don't forget things and feel in that moment. It sounds crazy. You can write for 2 years and meander or do things like that, but you want to get that last draft done so you don't lose the tone or lose that kind of like burst of energy. And I really felt in October, I remember getting done with it and being like, okay, you know, great. And then it kind of led into the next two shows that I'd written. And it was great. Like, it was really just a really good, you know, good period to be writing, actually. When it was to actually develop it, you have to be blessed with a great cast, and I am. What I love about this cast is I want them all to succeed. Like, I always want my actors to succeed. And these guys are genuinely great people. I only work with great people, so I'm very lucky. But these, you know, I was texting with them earlier, and it is genuinely great people who I want to succeed in life. So if you're going to come see the show, see it for me, sure, but see it for them especially. These guys are amazing. They should be. These guys are putting in work that's just beyond what I've seen so far. I mean, we're only in like what, our second week of rehearsal. And I can tell you that my first, you always can tell by the first rehearsal how something's going to go. And usually, I mean, like I said, if you hire the right people, which I'm happy, or you work with the right people, then you should have, it's just easy. Since I only work with great people, it's been easy. But especially with this crew, it's great to see them develop those things. A lot of it is me handing it off at this point and being like, hey, you know, if I cast correctly, like I can get the right people, 85% of your job is done. And then it comes to 15%, which is just like, oh God, I can't find this freaking costume. Oh God, I can't find the right props. That's probably more challenging to me, finding the right props and doing and getting those things, than actually writing it, to be honest with you.
Wow, that is incredible, though. I love that the show's in such a great place, though. This is amazing.
Yeah.
So what is the message or thought that you're hoping the audiences will take away from your piece?
So, you know, you have to figure out when you're doing these, I've done a lot of like biographical material. I actually never wanted to do, I wanted to do one biographical play, and it kind of spiraled out for me to be like, this is like the eighth or ninth, you know, different things. I've done stuff about Buster Keaton. It just happens, you know. I've done stuff, you know, if something's in front of you, you can't ignore it. So I'm like, okay, this, and then, you know, it's like, I love doing original stuff, and I love, you know, getting those things done. But sometimes you're just like, wow, there's such a great story to be had here. It's good to stretch those muscles too. And biographical material, when I write them now, it's kind of like, well, what's the story in here? What's the original story that you want to tell? Sure, it's about Louis the Prince, you know, in this camera that's gone, you know, it's the mystery behind that. You want to have that true crime element, really have people dig their teeth into it. But what is this? What was Louis about? What was his wife Lizzie about? Go through every character and try to figure out what the meaning is to the entire show and pull it together like a shoelace. The show basically is about becoming very involved with one's work and to the point of obsession, because Louis was someone who was obsessed. So, and we discover that as the play goes on, he was obsessed with his camera. You'd have to be to invent something that didn't exist like this before. You know, he's somebody who was so obsessed and pushed himself so hard that he forgot that his family was there, basically, and the love that he shared. So the question is, in a certain sense, is not to say, you know, it's great that he did it, but what price does this all come with? And I think about that often when you're doing a play. At what price, going to rehearsals every night, what price does this cost? You're doing your, you know, you're doing your podcast, you know, and you're in a relationship, you have all these things going on, office, you guys work together, I'm sure. But at the same token, there are times when you have to work, and at what point, and what toll does that take on your relationships with people, you know, and how do you navigate that, and how do you maintain that love, and, you know, what does that love? It's different than having, like, it's very relatable for people in theater, because they go into rehearsal every night, they're doing these things, that's what they love. So how does that affect their relationships? How does that affect, and it changes, it's a different world for them. I think it was a different world for Louis, and that's kind of the theme of things. How do you maintain that love and that through line throughout this entire creation process? And that relates to everyone who's ever had a creative pursuit.
Absolutely. Oh my yeah. Gosh, absolutely. That's a wonderful thought, though. I really love that, and I've no doubt that it's shining through in this play.
Oh, and yeah.
To my final question for this first part, which is, who do you hope have access to the motion picture camera of Louis Le Prince?
So this is what's, this one, as opposed, the last show I did was Pussy Hanukkah Comes to Harlem. That was pretty much anyone under 17 could not see it. This one is PG. I mean, you couldn't get it. We tried. We had a card. I'm very sorry. I like that. I like changing a bit. But I love the idea, though, my daughter, who is 14, can see it and get some appreciation out of it. You know, and somebody who's even like 7 or 8 could understand this show. This is accessible to everybody. I think that anyone who wants to see it and actually take those, that it's only a 90-minute play. What's the other thing? I think a lot of people, they write plays and they're like 3 hours long, and they do plays that are 3 hours long. And I mean, unless you're Broadway and have all the spectacle, which I do have to, you know, try to get as much spectacle as I can get, but, you know, I don't have millions of dollars put into a budget, you know, to get those things going. To do that, I really think that to make it accessible, you want to make sure your script is 90 minutes, maybe a little bit more, a little bit less, to make sure those people that come see it understand every point and really hit those points. So anybody's coming to see it, it's accessible. It won't make your butt hurt in the seat, which is huge. Your bladder won't explode. And, you know, if your bladder starts to go about minute 45, you know there's an end. So, I mean, anybody who has a bladder obstruction, you can definitely see. I'm kidding. any person that wants to see it, the story is accessible to them. And while there's a lot of complexity there, it's boiled down enough so anyone could understand it and enjoy it and laugh with it and go through it and actually feel those emotions and take the journey with us.
Second part of our interviews, we love letting our listeners get a chance to get to know our guests a little bit better. And of course, this is the third time we've had you on, which is incredible. So I actually want to start by asking you, what changes in the theater are you most excited for?
The changes I'm excited for in the theater, my God, man, I like, you know, I have to say this because this is something I will say, especially around these parts. I am excited to see that a lot of people are actually creating their own theaters and doing stuff like that. I really am enjoying that. I also like there seems to be a reliance on noticing abuse. My spring of last year show was about that. And since that show went up, you know, there hasn't been any in my local area. It hasn't been any like big blowups or anything like that. It's just been people creating. And instead of like worrying about who the last scumbag is and doing these things, I think, you know, I am excited to see that, you know, there's a lot of people who are just creating theater just to have fun and create theater and do it. And I think that's huge, not to sexually harass somebody or just be part of something that, you know, a part of an environment that isn't good for them. They're actually creating their own environment that is good. And I really think that's great. I also think the inclusion of diversity has been absolutely wonderful. And it's like, you know, and the acceptance of diversity too. Like I can make jokes all day long and do all those things and do things. But I'd say that, having people express themselves and who they are and actually holding people accountable for, no matter what, I think that's great. I think no matter what shape nor size, nor ethnicity, nor what you want to identify as. I think there always was a place for those people. And I think and for people that want to identify as whatever they want to identify as, or have a culture. It's a cultural shift, basically. I'm interested to see where that goes. I think that's great. You know, I'm old enough to say that, you know, I love progress. And I think it is progressive. I think there's a lot of progress happening. I'm also old enough to say I don't know everything. So if that makes sense. So I'm interested to learn those things. I mean, you know, and I'm excited about learning those things. On stage, you know, doing these things. While you're in the theater looking at each other and talking, or even in community theaters, I think people's voices want to be heard and they're going to be heard. And I think that's great. You know, I've always said that I'm going to be 47 this year. I only have 13 more years to do this. I think at age 60, I'm tapping out. I'm like, I'm done. Because I think at that point, you know, I think that it'll be great for the next generation to kind of take the reins. And I hope they take the reins and you know, really do something amazing with it. I think that's the best answer I could probably give.
Yes. But what a wonderful answer. And I completely agree. I'm excited for this next generation of theater makers and seeing what they're going to create and what they're going to do, because the direction that theater is starting to move gets me excited. Well, I know we've had you on twice before, but I'm going to ask my favorite question again anyway. Would you mind sharing another of your favorite theater memories with us?
Sure. Actually, you know, I don't know if I told you this. So this actually happened at our last interview. So I had I was directing two shows at once. We took the Ditko show to Pennsylvania, but we also, Pussy Hanukkah was four months, first and foremost on our interview. So I'll tell you two great things happened. And I'll tell you what the two great things happened. One's wonderful. One is hilarious. These are my two favorite new ones, though. We took the Ditko cast, just because we did the show before. We took it to Steve Ditko, the co-creator of Spider-Man's hometown. And we did the show there. And we put it as part of something called DickoCon. And it was amazing. Like, it was just a hot, I love that cast so much. We did the show there. Part of DickoCon in Ministry of Welcome. I love the people in Johnstown, Pennsylvania. It was such a great experience. Probably one of the best trips of travel I've ever had with a cast. And I loved it. I loved every second of it. This was back in, I think, late September, early October. October 1st, I think, was our show. And it was just such a nice trip. And to be with those people was, it's life-changing. It was just wonderful. I loved every second of it. I wish we could just relive that entire weekend, basically. It was just a memory I'll never forget. That was my one I feel very close to. The one that made me really happy, though, and even more, even as much as that one, though, as this is more of a comical one. So I'm going to say this, so it might get me in trouble, but it's okay. I don't mind. We had done Pussy Hanukkah Comes to Harlem, and the second week of shows, the local AM talk shows were starting to talk about it, talking about Pussy Hanukkah, how it's an offensive show. And, you know, and how it's being, you know, we our theater, you know, basically rents this the school that we're in, and they were offended that the show was going on there. This was wonderful. You can even look this up. It was great. So this went on for about the Monday, the Tuesday, the Wednesday. I start being inquiries to the local news. And so people are talking about the show, and I'm like, oh boy. And my artistic director is getting very excited. He's like, this is great. I'm like, they're getting mad. I'm like, oh my God. I'm like, no, this is great press. Cause all of them are getting mad. So I'm like, okay. So on Thursday, on Facebook, I start getting messages from a woman who I don't know, commenting on my post. I don't know her. She's one of the reporters from Channel 10 News, NBC. And they're talking about this play that has upset the community of Woonsocket. It was my play. And I'm like, oh my God. Like, so I'm like, okay. Well, I was like, well, there's parents that are upset. They're like this, this, and this. And I'm like, okay. And it all turned out fine. I'm gonna spoil that part for you. But they're like, I'm like, well, we should talk to my artistic director. This is at 5 o'clock. I have a show at 8 o'clock. My artistic director calls me back at 5:15. He goes, hey, what time are you coming to the theater? I'm like, I'll be there at like 7. He goes, great. There's an interviewer coming for you. So I come in, there's an interview at Channel 10, and I'm on the news that night and talking about the play, which, you know, it was a play that the only thing that was really offensive was the title. And it was hilarious. It's probably the funniest bit of media. So it's legendary. It was legendary, at least. We're in a new space. So it was my first bit of real hard press in a new space. And nobody cared that in the theater company, the school, they were only supportive. They were laughing about it. And it was so funny that the weekend of shows sold out like you wouldn't believe. It was so good. If I could send that to you, you'd be like, this is hilarious. Because it actually was my favorite thing, because it's when you're writing plays, you're wondering if people care a lot of times. And, you know, you're like, does anyone care about this? Will anyone care about this? And I think that's a lot of people when they get into life, when they do an artistic pursuit. Will anybody care about this? Not only did people care about it, but it peeved them off so badly that they had to call all these news stations to try to talk about the show. And it was funny, because I told people, I was actually directing two shows at once. One, we were doing the Pussy Hanukkah, and once Pussy Hanukkah ended, we were doing Ditko. So at the end of the interview, I'm like, hey, I'm doing a show next week. It's PG. They're like, we don't care. it was funny. But to actually be on the news and having that whole thing happen, and then people calling me and be like, oh my God, I saw you on the news. I'm like, yeah, I was. You know, they're like, Pussy Hanukkah, huh? To get that advertising in the freest way possible and to sell the way we sold because of it, and a result, and people had such a good time laughing at the entire, I call it, debacle. And just having that, and having that support, and have, for, you know, and to say you can do another play after this, it's my favorite memory of all time.
That is amazing. Wow. incredible how people can act when they just see a title and they don't actually see the play. It's just
Right.
do
Well,
your homework, friend.
Well,
I love that memory. That is a fabulous. Well, I love both of those memories. Thank you for sharing those.
Of course. I'm hoping to make more.
Do you have any other projects or productions coming on the pipeline that we might be able to plug for you?
Absolutely. So I'll tell you. So I'm still finishing the film I'm directing. I've been saying that for 3 years, but we have 5 more shooting days. Next time, after the show, we'll have 3 more filming days. So we're filming this month. It'll probably be ending the filming in June. So that will be probably in post and released hopefully next year, which is great. I'm very excited about that. I can't wait to get that done. But also, I also wrote, after this, I wrote 3 other things. So I actually have another film going into development. I have a short film with Seth Bison Hirsch. I hope he hears his name and freaks out. With Stacey Maitland directing. It's a short film based upon his grandmother and her experiences in the Holocaust, which I'm very excited about, called Malka. I also have a film, a secret project I wrote, a full-length film, which I can't talk about, which has gone to production already. And I also wrote my 2 next shows for next year, which I can tell you about. One is the aforementioned comedy that's going to piss off the Rodent Socket community called The Three Scrooges, which is going to be a lot of Christmas fun. And it's not for kids, which I'm sorry, but it's going to be a fun show. I can basically promise you it's female. It's based female centric show. And I can't speak anything else about that, except it will probably piss everybody off and ruin their holiday season. And I can't wait, honestly, because we need a pissed off, at least one, to appreciate the rest of them. You're welcome, everybody. And then I'm doing in spring of 2025, I'm actually doing one. I'm possibly the last bioplay for comic books. I'm doing a play about the creation of Superman and the birth of the superhero. And that is going to be Jerry Siegel and Joe Shuster about their story and really delving deep into the creation of the Superman and finding out in the comic book industry. They're the ones who did it. They're the ones who started it up. So there's a Superman movie coming out next summer, which I'm sure we all heard about. So if people can have a Superman movie that's gonna be huge and make millions of dollars flowing through our economy, then I believe that we should know the story of Joe Shuster and Jerry Siegel. And so I'm going to do that in the spring with the theater company, and we're gonna have a wonderful time getting that show up. Hopefully, I hope that people come see it. It's gonna be great.
That sounds all amazing. I'm excited for all of it. Well, my final question for you is, if our listeners would like more information about the motion picture camera of Louis Le Prince or about you, perhaps they'd like to reach out to you, how can they do so?
So I welcome all conversations just on Facebook. I'm on Facebook under Leonard Xavier Robert Schwartz, which is not my real name. I've got 5, but it's my middle name. My middle name is Xavier Roberts. You go look it up and figure out what that means. But Leonard Xavier Robert Schwartz on Facebook. Email me. I'll be happy to talk anything about any of these projects. Louis Le Prince, I love talking about it. Some people already have and taking me up on it, and we've had some nice conversations about it. It's been actually wonderful. And I'm on Instagram as Lenny Schwartz, so it's LNNYSCHWARTZ. And Instagram, I'm on Twitter, but it's not a good way to reach me. I barely check it since it became X or whatever it is. I'm not a fan of it, so I kind of do that. Or just Google it, or come see a show and come if you're around the area, come see us, because if you're in the show, if you see the show, we'll have conversations before, after, we'll have cookies. It'll be fun.
I love it. Well, Lenny, thank you so much for taking the time to stop by and share the next work in your amazing collection. This sounds fantastic, and I'm so excited for the piece. So thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you for having me, sir.
My guest today has been the playwright and director Lenny Schwartz, who joined us today to talk about his upcoming production being presented by Daydream Theater and Rise, called The Motion Picture Camera of Louis Le Prince. It's happening April 11th through the 20th at Beacon Charter High School for the Arts in Woonsocket, Rhode Island. And you can get your tickets and more information by visiting ristage.org. We also have some contact information for Lenny, which we'll be posting in our social media post as well as on our episode description. But if you're in the Rhode Island area or you're looking for a nice escape this spring, head on up to Woonsocket, check out the motion picture camera of Louis Le Prince happening April 11th through the 20th. So until next time, I'm Andrew Cortez, reminding you to turn off those cell phones and unwrap those candies and keep talking about the theater.
In a stage whisper.
Thank you.
If you like what you hear, please leave a 5-star review, like, and subscribe.
You can also find us on Facebook and Instagram at Stage Whisper Pod.
And feel free to reach out to us with your comments and personal stories at stagewhisperpod@gmail.com.
And be sure to check out our website for all things Stage Whisper and theater. You'll be able to find merchandise, tours, tickets, and more. Simply visit stagewhisperpod.com. Our theme song is Maniac by Jazzar. Other music on this episode provided by Jazzar and Billy Murray. You can also become a patron of our show by logging on to patreon.com/stagewhisperpod. There you will find all the information about our backstage pass as well as our tip jar. Thank you so much for your generosity. We could not do this show without you.